We're back. By the way, a caller had requested I put out those numbers again. Thank you for your interest to call your Senate creatures. It's too late to call your Congress critters. These are the two 800 numbers, and I have a third number, but the first two are 800-828-0498. And again, 828-0498. 614-2803. That's 614-2803. And the 877 toll-free, 851-6437. I say again, 851-6437. Do I still have Steve online? Okay, Steve dropped. Okay. Yeah. I think part of the COINTEL program as well out there, Ted, is telling people, well, you know, you just have to walk away. And a lot of this comes from supposedly Christians out there that, well, it's not of God. God doesn't have anything to do with it. So therefore, you know, you've got to obey God's law, forget man's law. Well, I don't want you to forget about one thing. When men are not paying attention and they pass bad law, what are you commanded to do as being a good Christian or a good citizen?
Yeah,
and this is what they seem to forget. They seem to forget the other half of that equation, Ted.
Yeah, well, God has given us this republic as a tremendous vehicle for truth and enlightenment and evangelism throughout the whole world. And if you have a car and you say, "Well, I don't have to put any oil in it, I don't have to put any water in it, or gas, or I don't have to put air in the tires," it's just going to run. You're going to find yourself without transportation pretty soon, aren't you? And if we do not do our civic duty as part of living in the realities of this earth, of supporting and maintaining our Republican democratic system, is going to be taken from us. And God has ordained that men and Christians should live a spiritual life within a physical world. And there are physical realities, physical parameters that we have to respect. Christ respected them when he was here. The Bible teaches respect for the realities of this world and so on. And so there really is no excuse for dereliction of duty in our obligations to maintain this precious gift God has given to us. Before I forget, John, we have to mention ENDA. I got an emergency call from Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt last night, who's this embattled chaplain, you know, who's lost his pension and career in the Navy because he prayed in the name of Jesus in uniform on the Capitol steps.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that Matthew Staver, who is the head of Liberty Council, which is one of these Christian legal activist organizations, sent out an emergency alert just last night saying that he has inside information from someone in the Capitol that the Democrats are going to plan on moving forward into tomorrow to a vote in the House of Representatives. It came out of committee last week or so, according to Staver, what they're going to do is they plan to actually pull out a bill at the last minute and stick ENDA in, not giving the Republicans any advanced warning so they can prepare for debate and try to get it passed. And now, it's true that ENDA, the president has promised to veto ENDA. But on the other hand, as we saw in the hate bill fiasco a month ago, what happens is these people say, well, the president, George W., is going to do it for us,
mm-hmm.
and then everything falls through. There is no more calls or anything.
It's political chicanery.
That's right.
Okay, hold on, Ted, if you will. Bob and CJ also take your calls on this edition of the National Intel Report. We'll be right back after the three-minute quickie here, folks. Let's go back to the phones here. Bob in Texas. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hi.
Actually, I called into an earlier program and was talking about this same subject,
mm-hmm.
the homegrown terrorism bill.
Right.
And in that program, I suggested that this bill could be used to our benefit because of the actions of our own government and the neocons and the words and actions of the neocons with respect to their advocacy of regime change in Iran that we hear about constantly day in, day out on our media. However, after something you said, I actually got it. I think I'm think I'm reading an actual quote from that particular bill where it defines what homegrown terrorism is. And it says, the term homegrown terrorism means the use, planned use, or threatened use of force or violence by a group or individual born, raised, or based and operating primarily within the United States or any possession of the United States to intimidate or coerce the United States government, the civilian population of the United States, or any segment thereof. There's the key.
In furtherance of political or social objectives.
Yes, and here's the key. It's okay when Mr. Podhoretz threatens the use or planned use or threatened use of force against Iran. That's not homegrown. That's terrorism by this definition, but it's not homegrown terrorism because it's not directed against the United States. But he is, when they make those threats, they are trying to coerce another government to bend to our will. So it is terrorism.
It sure is.
And I have to say one other thing. I did say, I think I might have misinterpreted Mr. Podhoretz. I thought he advocated dropping nuclear bombs on Iran, but I just reread that. He just advocates dropping bunker buster bombs and a more or less a sustained air campaign.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, and be careful about this, Bob, be careful what you ask for. You just may get it. Now, this may be a double-edged sword. It could be swung both ways, but let me demonstrate why I think this would be a bad idea if this bill passes, whether we could use it or we couldn't.
We couldn't use it because it has to. It couldn't be used against the neocons because the neocons are advocating use of force and threats against another country,
yeah.
Not against our own country.
Right.
So, and not that I'm advocating that either. We couldn't use this against the neocons.
Well, I wonder, with six-pack Bubba out there, oh, we ought to just kill all these damn ragheads out there. Is that going to apply to this guy as well?
No, because it's okay to threaten another country.
Yeah, not yet.
According to that definition.
And if you look at the definition, and if you read the bill, and you ask any lawyer, is punctuation important? Is phraseology, are the words used important? Well, absolutely, because they all have meaning. They know this better than anybody else. But if you notice in this bill what it talks about, and especially in the segment that says the term homegrown terrorism means the use, planned use, or threatened use of force, of violence, blah, 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 and it says primarily within the United States or any possession of the United States, notice they keep saying United States, to
yep.
intimidate or coerce the United States government or the civilian population of the United States. If you notice the term that they're using, United States capitalized. This is important. It's important for people to understand this because this is the de facto. This is not the de jure. This is the de facto government that has been set up. And you're a citizen of it. So therefore, when they make a declaration like this, they pass a bill like this, you're automatically subject to it. No, you're not, because you're not a capitalized United States citizen.
Well, I understand what you're saying there, and that is, what you're talking about is the letter of the law, and so you're saying that the capitalization of the United States has a special meaning.
It does.
But what other word could they have used there?
United States of America.
That
United States, small u, small s. I don't want to get down that rabbit hole today.
I don't either. But suffice it
to say.
I hear you, but let me just. I just want to make my point clear.
Go ahead.
I was trying to draw a distinction about what we're saying about Iran every day.
Oh, no, I understand. I got your point.
It is definitely terrorism.
I got your point. I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not trying to dodge that one. I agree with you.
Anyway, I can't add anything further.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call, Bob.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, and Ted, I it's funny that Bob brought this up because I was thinking, well, if it does pass, can it be used to any advantage to us? And then I watched how the process of the redress of grievance takes place through any group, any individual, any organization to try to roll back anything that this Congress has done that's either A, illegal, B, immoral, C, unconstitutional, not necessarily in this order, And what do you think our success rate is in rolling any of this stuff back?
Look at Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Still killing babies, but it's okay.
Yeah. You know, John, what I see in this bill is maybe just as significant, and that is that this is an opportunity to put forth a new agenda, that there is this nameless, unidentified group of homegrown terrorists out there. They are operating on the internet. They are unnamed, and yet they are very real. They are very threatening, so threatening that it requires federal intervention now. Mm-hmm. No longer can the FBI keep up with these people. No longer can the state attorney generals and justice departments keep up with them. We need a hate crimes bureaucracy established here to look into this nameless force and define them, put names on them, and create stereotypes out of them, and with the ADL there in the background feeding all of this kind of information to this federal commission.
Said
before, this is just the kind of the camel getting his nose in the tent. It's a way of getting ADL into yet another federal bureaucracy. They've got the State Department's Department of Global Anti-Semitism. And needless to say, the ADL has been in bed with the FBI and the Justice Department and all police departments nationwide
for years.
Ever since 1990, you see.
Well, and we can go back to the original argument on any of the original hate crimes legislation. Folks, I gave a speech with Ron Paul, another talk show host that was in attendance. I upset a young woman that she happened to be a lesbian, and she thought I was singling her out and trying to advance or get a mob going to string her up by the nearest oak tree, and that wasn't the case. And she interrupted my speech, and I said, I will take your question after I'm done talking. Well, that wasn't good enough for her. Well, another talk show host came up to console her, and I didn't ask him to do that. I wished he wouldn't have done it. But be that as it may, I talked to the young lady after the event, and I told her, I said, look, I said, what is your deal? You came here. This is my venue. You don't like what I'm saying? Get the hell out. And she said, well, you know, this might incite violence toward me. And I said, while you're in attendance here, my dear, anybody that would raise a hand to you, I would intervene. And she looked at me. She couldn't believe I just said it. She said, are you serious? I said, yes, I'm serious. Nobody in this country has the right to be assaulted for the way they believe, the way they think, or anything else. And she thought about that. And she walked away a different person than when I had originally met her. But if we go back to the tenets of somehow that you're going to say something to incite somebody else to do something, think about this, folks. We have laws on the books. You can't walk up to Joe Blow on the street, sucker punch the guy, walk away, and expect nothing to happen to you. You cannot assault a police officer and expect nothing to happen to you. You cannot commit a crime that clearly on the books, it is already written, there is a long not-to-do list that we pretty much obey. We get out of hand sometimes. But do we need legislation in this country for thought crime?
Yeah.
That somehow that we're going to embolden somebody? I've said this repeatedly, and anybody that's worth their salt that is on alternative media, or somebody that even is in the mainstream media that makes a suggestion of something, that is not a green light for anybody to go out there and do it. I remember when I was a kid, my mother used to say to me, if I got in trouble with a couple of my friends, well, if they jump off the bridge, does that mean you have to too? But I also remember something else when I was a child. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you.
Yeah.
And this is what they're after. They're after the words. They're after the thoughts. They're after us.
You see, the words and the thoughts and the intentions precede a demonstrable crime. And up in Canada, there's this misguided notion that the business of government is to prevent crime, especially bias crime, before it happens. They're to be proactive there. And up in Canada, you know, I've had many of my books and videos that I've shipped to Canada seized by customs. And they high-handedly doing this as a public service to keep the hate literature out of Canada. And in fact, in Canada, if you are a suspect of any kind of a hate indictment or whatever, the police can come in and they can seize your hard drive, they can seize any books in your library as evidence that you have intentions or bias to actually commit a crime in the future. In other words, you're likely to at least stimulate a violation of the federal hate crimes law. So this is what we're doing here is, again, this is a massive rethinking of our whole Anglo-Saxon legal tradition, which says the police have got to wait. They've got to wait until there has been physical but demonstrable evidence of a crime having been committed before they can arrest, and certainly before they can indict. Otherwise, they're guilty of wrongful arrest and imprisonment. But this new world order idea is that the government is so benign, so watchful and benevolent over us that they're going to go out and they're going to actually prosecute people before they've committed crimes.
Well, and that's the Minority Report. What you just described was the Minority Report. It was a movie that Tom Cruise was in. If you people haven't seen it, I suggest you go to your video rental place and watch it. They're just only here to help you. We'll be back with your calls right after this. Let's go back to the phones. CJ in Missouri. Hello, CJ.
Hi there, John. How are you today?
Good.
John, I just wanted to tell you a couple things that I might suggest to your listeners. Regularly in these bills like this H.R. 1955 that just recently passed in the House, the Terrorism Prevention Act, I regularly call 10 or 20 senators or congressmen pertaining to a bill, and I express my opinions. And I usually start off by saying, did Senator so-and-so or Congressman so-and-so in his oath of office or her oath of office swear to preserve, promote, protect the Constitution, pardon me, of the United States? Of course, they say yes. And then I say, then I get into, example, the Violent Radicalization Terrorism Prevention Act, and I say, what does this senator stand for in this particular act? Well, they haven't decided yet. Well, I then proceed to say, well, it is my humble opinion that if this senator does, in fact, vote for this particular act, that this is against the Constitution of the United States, which he or she voted or took an oath to preserve, promote, protect, then that senator is, in fact, guilty of treason. Would you not agree with me?
And what kind of responses you get back, CJ, when you say that?
Silence, John.
It is treason.
It is treason. Yes, sir. And they ought to be aware of this.
I appreciate that very much. CJ, anything else?
Yes, something else that I read yesterday, coming back from London, International Herald Tribune. Actually, it was October 29th. It's on the editorial page, Liberty and Tyranny, Francois Furstenberg, Bush's Dangerous Liaisons. And it's talking about the French Revolution. And here it says, to defend the nation from its enemies, Jacobins expanded the government's police powers at the expense of civil liberties, endowing the state with the power to detain, interrogate, and imprison suspects without due process. Policies like the mass warrantless searches undertaken in 1792, domiciliary visits, they were called, they were justified. And then he goes on to say, Robespierre, now firmly committed to the most militant brand of Jacobism, condemned the treacherous insinuations cast by those who questioned the excessive severity of measures prescribed by the public interest. He said, this severity is alarming only for the conspirators, only for the enemies of liberty. Such measures then as now were undertaken to protect the nation. It's for your security, don't you know? Indeed, to protect liberty itself. If the French terror had a slogan, it was that attributed to the great orator Louis de Saint-Jouy, no liberty for the enemies of liberty. Let's see. Unlike Bush's variant, we must not let foreign enemies use the forum of liberty to destroy liberty itself. Could very well serve as the very antithesis, of the Western liberal tradition. And on this principle, the terror demonized its political opponents, which is what they're trying to do.
Yes.
Imprisoned suspected enemies without trial and eventually set thousands to guillotine. And so this was out of International Herald Tribune, Bush's dangerous liaisons, and that's exactly what they're doing in America today.
Well, and what I said about when Bush announced his worldwide war on terrorism, and even threw a number behind it, it may take us 100 years to defeat these people. What you saw happen, you saw many countries jumping on board. The first one was Spain, and then many other countries followed in suit. And what I said was, folks, this has nothing to do with terrorism. What this has to do with is your opposition to the New World Order and their control.
Control.
So now we see it in a more refined version targeted toward United States citizens. But don't worry, CJ, don't get in a bunge here, because they're going to be protecting your civil and your constitutional rights.
Oh, it's for your security. It's for your protection.
Yes. But although we're violating it, we're there to protect it.
Yeah,
right.
You know, we saw this very powerfully revealed on the floor of the Senate a month ago when Senator Kennedy tried to rationalize adding a hate crimes bill to a military appropriations bill. And he said that hate crimes are now domestic terrorism. And that shocked a lot of people. But he's just this is the kind of the breaking the ice here for a new application of the war on terror, not just internationally, not just to foreign possible saboteurs here in the United States, but now to homegrown indigenous terrorists who they are make very clear in this bill are not affiliated with anybody.
That's right. And CJ, I thank you for your call.
Thank you very much, John. God bless all
okay.
of you, and God bless America.
All righty. I appreciate your two cents. It weighs in heavily. Remember what the Democrats said that they were going to do, Ted, when they took the midterm elections? That they were going to put an end to the war. That was their platform.
Oh, yeah.
They were screaming it to the nth degree.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jim Kerwin, and I want to cover just a couple paragraphs of this to demonstrate how we are being sold. I mean, folks, if you believe what a politician tells you, I've got some great stocks that you need to buy. Or I've got a bridge. It's needed a little repair, but with a little bit of money, a little bit of time and labor, it could be made functional again. Or how about buying some land down in the swamps of Florida? Don't worry. You could drain it and you could build on it. But, of course, you'd have to battle the federal government and 19,000 different conservancy groups in order to do it. We'll take the break here. Michael in New York, hang on. I'll take your call as well. We'll be right back, folks.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
I was just talking with Robbie Noel during the break, and he used to live in South Africa when, well, Africa went the way that it did. And he said, you know, they started out with putting their government agents, and the topic of the conversation was this H.R. 1955 and 1959. And he said they would put their government agents in all the radio stations, but they didn't have any in the newspapers. Well, then they caught on that they would put their agents in the newspapers in case there were stories that they didn't want out. But the newspaper, what they would literally do, and this is when they used to set type, and you had to set the type, and then you would run that particular page of the newspaper. Well, the government agents, if they didn't like a story, they would physically remove the block lettering and pull it out. So when the newspaper would actually be printed and circulated, you'd read the paper and you'd see these big white areas in the newspaper where the stories have been pulled. Is that what is going to happen to America, ladies and gentlemen? You have just begun to believe that you can fight. But now that you've gotten the idea that, hey, I can put this stuff down, I can get my government back, now they're trying to craft laws to prevent you from doing exactly that. Let me take Michael in New York, and I want to go over this Jim Kerwin thing. And there's something I want to read, and I want to get your opinion on it, Ted. So let's go to Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hello, John. Thanks for taking my call. And, Ted, again, I want to just thank you, sir, for all that great work you're doing for the Republic of the United States. And John, getting back to what you're talking about with the federal corporate United States government and their limited jurisdiction, which does not include the 50 sovereign states, and that's one of the key fundamentals that these a lot of the Americans still have to grasp, so that anytime the feds intrude, we say, where's your authority? You're now encroaching in sovereign territory. You're not on federal territory anymore. Where's your authority to pull off what you claim you're legally allowed to do to us?
The problem with that is, Michael, to interrupt you here for a second, the problem with that is, do you think the jackbooted thugs with the supposed authority and the badges and the guns, do you think you're going to be able to convince them of that?
That's right, John. We won't be able to convince them until more Americans understand the fact that they don't have the legal jurisdiction over us. Just like with the executive orders, how they promote the executive orders like it's the presidential ability to generate legislation, when all an executive order really is an executive decree among his cabinet people. Hey, I want square eraser heads rather than round eraser heads on my pencils. That's the extent of what executive orders are really enabling in a president to do. It has nothing to do with any legislation over the 50 sovereign states. So that's another hard bullet to fire back at these guys every time they try to give us this executive order crap. Like,
careful, that's radicalization speech. You used the term bullet and firing back.
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of talk, John, getting back to what CJ was saying. They are traitors. They're breaking their oaths. We all know it. And now it's just a matter of time before we come to some kind of head over this, because obviously they're coming after us to shut us down fully so we don't have the ability to exercise our free thoughts and free speeches. Just like Ted was saying in Canada, I know a guy a little bit up there in Canada, and a business acquaintance, but I asked him, knowing from Ted that the hate crime laws were established up there, so what's it like up there when you're out and about? And he goes, people don't talk. And I said, so they're intimidated. He goes, absolutely. Everybody's afraid to really speak because the thought police are there, and somebody could, you know, hey, did you hear what he said? Well, that's a hate crime. And so they're actually intimidated up there with that hovering above them. And so we're going to come to head with these commies and Nazis that are clearly traitors. Here in New York, when I call up Ted, I don't, unfortunately only have Senator Hillary Rotten Clinton or Chuck E. Cheese Schumer to voice my protest against with their voting records, and, of course, it falls on deaf commie ears.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we had a string of real successes in the first half of this year. We saw four major un-American bills defeated as a result of a real rise of activism and calling. American Family Association, focused on the family, Family Research Council, and so on, really got to working. Not, and I wouldn't say with me, but I helped galvanize them into action last middle of February about the hate bill, and they started making their own videos against the hate bill and so on. But what has happened? What happened during the summer was there was a tremendous collapse. Largely, it was as a result of this promise of a veto of the hate bill by President Bush. Everybody figured that he would mind the store and save freedom of speech for us. And we're kind of having to recover from that right now. I should remind our audience again that tomorrow there seems to be good evidence that the ENDA bill will go before the House of Representatives. And before this program is over, let's make sure we write down the number to the House of Representatives. I'll just give that to you. Again, that's 877-851-6437. John has some other toll-free numbers, but there's also a toll number to the House, which is 202-224-3121. Now, some would say, well, if the president has promised to veto ENDA, well, let's let him do it. Well, that's what we did a month ago. And what happened is, as I said earlier, these Congress critters are like a tire with a hole in it. You've got to pump hard getting those calls in there in order for them to get up on their back feet and actually speak out on the floor of the House or the Senate. Otherwise, they will go flat on you. But right now, we've got to, again, let the Congress of the United States, especially the House, tomorrow know that we will not stand for a bias crime bureaucracy taking control of housing, of employment, and even of the churches, forcing us to hire homosexuals and rent to homosexuals, and even have homosexuals in church departments and functions. We're not going to stand for that. There's got to be a referendum here. So make a very careful note, probably a little too late today to actually call, but tomorrow morning we've got to blitz the House of Representatives. Call your representative from your district and say, please do not vote for ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, that's H.R. 2015, because what it does is it gives homosexuals the right to control housing and employment rather than you being in control.
Now, and I just thought of something as you were saying that, Ted, that if, say that you own an apartment complex or you're just renting out some property, the guy shows up, and he's not a butch guy. He's rather feminine. And, well, you may or may not want to rent to him, but, you know, you check the guy out, and he's got lousy credit. He's late on paying everything. But the guy really wants to live in your property. And you tell him, no, your credit's not good enough or whatever. I seem to think that you're a risk, and, you know, you've been on the black sheet here of apartment associations and whatever else. All that guy has to do is scream discrimination.
Yes.
And guess what? You got to take the guy, and you got to put up with this stuff.
That's right. Same way with hiring. And if you get him hired, then if he stays around for a month and assumes a grudge list of evidences of discrimination, then you've got to go take that to court.
Yeah, and of course that's gonna cost you money, and you'll have to hire an attorney and all that other stuff. Michael, any other point you want to make?
John, Ted, I just like to say last that you know what these no good traitors are like too is every time they bring up an issue that is anti-American and the public says stick it up your you know what, they don't go away. They come back a week later and try to ram it down our throats again. Just like at the local level, you vote on a school tax, you vote no. You send the message loud and clear. You think they go away? No, they come back a month later and try to and sneak it in by
right.
voting again. And a lot of people aren't around, aren't up on the revote and all that. That's the kind of game they're playing with us. And after a while, gentlemen, you know there's only one thing left to do, and that's take the rope out and start hanging these traitors.
Well, the truth is that all of these politicians, I believe, have their own pressures put on them by ADL, by other pressure groups, by their own, maybe their own skeletons in their closets and so on. So we're in competition with a very pressured group of people. The only thing we can do is to apply more pressure to them by threatening to vote them out of office next time than the ADL and the left can exert on their end.
Yeah, but I don't think AIPAC or the ADL is going to tell these people, you know, if you vote for this thing or you don't vote for it, rather, that you're guilty of treason. I don't think they have that leg to stand on. Michael, thank you for your call.
Great show. Thank you.
All right. This is a little off topic, but you'll see the relevance here. Jim Kerwin said the magic number is 41, not 60. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that it takes only 41 senators to kill any bill in the Senate. In other words, 41 Senate Democrats could have already ended this war by their 41 selves by simply filibustering Bush's war funding bills. And as you mentioned, Teddy Kennedy tried to attach the hate crime bill to war appropriations. Now, such an option is an old, tried-and-true tactic used by both parties in the Senate. Each party has more than the 41 senators needed to block each other's bills. Currently, each party has 49 senators and two independents. Therefore, I reiterate, 41 Democratic senators could have already ended this war by preventing Bush's war appropriations bills from even coming to the Senate floor for a vote. The problem is the Democrat Party refuses to cut funding to this war. Democratic speakers of the House, Nancy Pelosi, flat out stated that Democrats will not cut funding to this war. The problem with this Democrat Party zero-sum position is history, American history. The only way our troops have been brought home since the inception of the War Powers Act is that when Congress completely cut all funds to the war or military action in question, and each time it was against the sitting U.S. president's will.
Yes.
Think about this, folks. You're going to tell me your phone call does not make a difference? It does. So apply the heat, because they're getting the phone calls from the AIPAC buddies and the ADL buddies and everybody else. These are the people that hate freedom. These are the haters, folks. Okay? You got to understand that. I want to read you something, and I want to get your opinion on this. This came from Ben Stein. And I don't know if you'd heard this or not, but he actually recited this on CBS Sunday Morning as a commentary. He says, "I am a Jew, and every single one of my ancestors was Jewish. And it does not bother me even a little bit when people call this those beautiful, lit-up, bejeweled trees Christmas trees." He said, "I don't feel threatened. I don't feel discriminated against. That's what they are, Christmas trees. It doesn't bother me a bit when people say Merry Christmas to me. I don't think they're slighting me or getting ready to put me in a ghetto. In fact, I kind of like it. It shows that we're all brothers and sisters celebrating this happy time of the year. It doesn't bother me at all that there is a manger scene on display at a key intersection near my beach house in Malibu. If people want a cradle, it's just as fine with me as is the menorah a few hundred yards away." He says, "I don't like getting pushed around for being a Jew, and I don't think Christians like being pushed around for being Christians either. I think people who believe in God are sick and tired of getting pushed around, period. I have no idea where the concept came from that America is an explicitly atheist country. I can't find it in the Constitution, and I don't like it being shoved down my throat. Or maybe I can put it another way. Where did I get the idea, where did it come from that we should worship Nick and Jessica and we aren't allowed to worship God as we understand him? I guess that's a sign that I'm getting old also. But there's a lot of us who are wondering where Nick and Jessica came from and whence the America we knew went to. In light of the many jokes we send around each to each other for a laugh, this is a little different. This is not intended to be a joke. It's not funny. It's intended to get you thinking." Billy Graham's daughter was interviewed on the early show, and Jane Clayson asked her, "How could God let something like this happen regarding Katrina?" Ann Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. She said, "I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years, we've been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman he is, I believe he's calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand he leave us alone? In light of the recent events, terrorist attacks, school shootings, etc., I think it started when Madeline Murray O'Hare, she was murdered and her body found recently, complained she didn't want prayer in our schools, and we said, okay. Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we said, okay. Then Dr. Benjamin Spock said, we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their little personalities would be warped and we might damage their self-esteem. By the way, Dr. Spock's son committed suicide. We said an expert should know what he's talking about, and we said, okay. And now we're asking ourselves why our children have no conscience, why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers, their classmates, and themselves. Probably if we think about it long and hard enough, we can figure it out. I think it has a great to do with we reap what we sow. Funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world's going to hell. Funny how we believe what the newspapers say, but question what the Bible says. Funny how you can send jokes through an email and they spread like wildfire, but when you start sending messages regarding the Lord, people think twice about sharing. Funny how lewd, crude, vulgar, and obscene articles pass freely through the cyberspace, but public discussion of God is suppressed in the school and workplace. Are you laughing? Funny how when you forward this message, you will not send it to many of your address list because you're not sure how they believe or what they will think of you for sending it. Funny how we can be more worried about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. Pass it on if you think it has merit and not just discard it. No one will know you did, but if you discard this thought process, don't sit back and complain about what bad shape the world is in. My best regards, honestly and respectfully, Ben Stein.
Now that's outstanding. You know, that's the kind of there. I get so many emails from Jews who reflect his appreciation of what I'm doing to oppose ADL, this evil clique of Jewish activists who are behind most of this legislation and Christian bashing, taking down the crosses and the Ten Commandments and nativity scenes and so on. But there's quite a number of people like this in the Jewish community who are standing up, Jewish intellectuals and so on, and are basically saying, in fact, I was reading an article by Dennis Prager yesterday out of National Review, and he was strongly protesting the way ADL's Foxman has gone after Ann Coulter.
Mm.
And ADL was attempting to get some kind of a denunciation from presidential candidates against Ann Coulter, that is, Republican candidates. And what he was saying is that this evil cabal of ADL B'nai B'rith is really bringing a bad name to the Jewish community at large, and it's also taking all meaning out of the term anti-Semitism.
And you know what? I think Ann Coulter's an idiot, but I'll defend her right to make an idiot out of herself. That's for sure. We'll be right back. On tomorrow's program, ladies and gentlemen, I have Eric Schein on, and I'm going to try to line up Larry Beecraft. I want to find out what the heck went wrong here with Sherry Peel Jackson's case, and I'm sure there's going to be an appeal. At any rate, the website here for my guest today, and I usually make a habit of repeating the websites, and forgive me for not doing that, www.truthtellers.org. Put that on your list, folks. Put that in your favorite box and check on that. You do send out email alerts, do you not, Ted?
Sign up on our homepage. We usually get a couple out every week, and not only I write them, but my niece writes the powerful e-alerts. And these are really on the cutting edge, keeping you on very short notice about federal legislation, state legislation, threats to freedom and speech.
You must be, I won't use the term pride because that's one of the seven deadly sins, but you've got to be pleased as punch to have a daughter such as that.
Well, she's not my daughter. She's my niece.
Oh, I'm sorry, niece. I'm sorry. I assumed that she was your daughter.
Oh, no, I'd be proud if she were.
Okay.
But ever since she's been a child, I've encouraged her in her writing, and she's a very dedicated young Christian lady who wants to use that for God's glory as well as saving the country.
Yeah. You know, folks, however you believe, and Ted, I've said this to people, I don't get in the middle of religious debates. I don't pit one against the other. That's what the other side's trying to do right now with us. And I just simply tell you this, that if you see no fault in the teachings, you can't go against it, then you believe it, that's fine. You stick with it. But understand something, that when the day comes, and you may not even believe this, you may not even believe that you're going to be judged one day. Maybe you don't even believe in God. Well, he believes in you, but that's okay too. But the day that you are judged and that book of life is opened up, you're not going to be able to pick up the phone and call your lawyer. You're not going to be able to have an intercessor. There's going to be nobody there to speak for you. It's going to be your record, what you've done, and then that's going to be it. And then that sets the stage for what happens with you for the rest of eternity. So that's one way to look at it.
Yeah, well, we're also set as watchmen on the wall here, each in our own level. It may be through a call to talk radio, it may be through a letter to the editor, whatever, but God requires each of us to, when we see evil coming, when we see danger coming, we have an obligation not only to ourselves and to our country, but to our posterity, our precious children and grandchildren, in the decades and even centuries ahead, to do everything we can to hold back the evil tide and evil time. And God is in heaven right now watching this nation and watching our people and seeing if we will humble ourselves before him and let him be our guide and our stronghold to defeat this very, very anti-Christ Orwellian legislation. And as I've said before on this program, we've had some great victories this year. We can have more, I believe, if we turn to God and repent and fall on our faces in fasting and prayer before him, and then get up and do that which is in our hand. We reach that hand and pick up that telephone as the instrument of our deliverance, our email or our fax, and we get those messages off, letting these members of Congress know that we are not going to stand for them taking away our precious freedom of speech.
And Ted, I've told people before, even if they don't want to do what you've just described, get on board with somebody that is doing it, because you have time to change your mind. We don't know when you're going to check out, but when you start battling evil, it's very clear as to what path you should follow.
Amen.
All right, Ted, I appreciate it very much. And his website, ladies and gentlemen, again, www.truthtellers.org.